Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. It's on the inside insert of your bulletin. All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come, buy food and eat. Without money, at no cost, buy wine and milk. Why spend money for what isn't food and your earnings for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Enjoy the richest of feasts. Listen and come to me. Listen and you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful loyalty to David. Look, I made him a witness to the peoples, a prince and commander of peoples. Look, you will call a nation you don't know. A nation you don't know will run to you because of God, the Holy One of Israel who has glorified you. Seek God when God can still be found. Call upon your Creator while God is yet near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the sinful their schemes. Let them return to God so that mercy may be shown upon them. To our God, because God is generous with forgiveness. My plans aren't your plans, nor are your ways my ways, says God. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my plans than your plans. And our second scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, which is on the front page of your insert this morning. Some who were present on that occasion told Jesus about the Galileans whom Pilate had killed while they were offering sacrifices. He replied, "Do you think the suffering of these Galileans proves that they were more sinful than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you change your hearts and lives, you will die just as they did. What about those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Do you think that they were more guilty of wrongdoing than everyone else who lives in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you change your hearts and lives, you will die just as they did." Jesus told this parable. A man owned a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came looking for the fruit on it and found none. He said to his gardener, "Look, I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree for the past 3 years, and I've never found any. Cut it down. Why should it continue depleting the soil's nutrients?" The gardener responded, "Give it one more year, and I will dig around it and give it fertilizer. Maybe it will produce fruit next year. If not, then you can cut it down." When I was in college, Nobel laureate Wangari Maathai was a featured guest lecturer at my college. She was the founder of the Green Belt Movement in Kenya, an indigenous grassroots non-governmental organization that focuses on environmental conservation, community development, and capacity building. In the 1970s, she organized indigenous women in Kenya to plant trees to combat deforestation and soil erosion. While manufacturers bulldoze trees because they are of more value dead than alive, and developers clear forests because the land is more valuable than the vegetation that inhabits it, Wangari Maathai believes that living trees are actually the most valuable thing we have on Earth. Her movement to date has planted over 51 million trees and provided over 30,000 jobs for women training in for forestry preservation. When she spoke at my university, she told a story of when she was a young girl in Kenya. She tended to tell this story a lot on her speaking engagements. Her mother taught her that the wild fig tree was the most precious of trees. When gathering firewood, she was instructed, "Don't pick any dry wood out of the fig tree or even around it. We don't use it, we don't cut it, we don't burn it. Even if the tree looks like it is done producing fruit or isn't providing anything above ground to humans, what is happening underneath the soil is the most precious gift of this tree." Fig trees' root systems, they connect underground to deep water reservoirs. They burrow down into the ground, and they are tough enough to break through rock and concrete and deep, deep soil. and to reach the life-giving water below. Wherever there are fig trees around, that means there is also water, there is refreshment, there is new life. So knowing this about the fig tree was a big help to me with this parable that Jesus tells from Luke this morning. This is a very strange and troubling passage if you're trying to make sense of it as written. First, there's this part of the Galileans who have been murdered by the empire and others who have been killed by a freak accident. Then it goes right into this story about a landowner and a gardener who are trying to decide what to do about this unproductive fig tree. The landowner has planted this fig tree in the middle of a vineyard of grapes, and it's not producing any fruit like the grapevines around it. So the landowner, he wants to cut it down and to destroy it. But the gardener tells the landowner to give it just one more year. The gardener will tend to it and see how it does. But then the story just ends there. We don't know what happens to the fig tree. Did it finally produce that tasty fruit? Did it wither and die? Was it cut down and used for furniture or firewood? What did this fig tree end up being worth? We don't know. How both stories are typically connected and read together is usually to teach a lesson about God's generous mercy and our inadequacy. While it may be too late for the victims of Pilate and the falling tower tragedy, it's not too late for those who are still living to change their hearts and lives, somewhat of a scare tactic teaching. God is giving you one more chance, but the chance won't always be there. Just ask the dead. And like the unproductive fig tree, we don't deserve the mercy of the landowner and the gardener. But as Joanna Harder writes, how this passage has also been told is, see, God is willing to give us sinners one more chance. God is merciful, and yet God's mercy is not unlimited. I don't know if Wangari Maathai would agree with this reading, especially knowing what she did about fig trees. What if instead we read this parable a bit differently, not putting God in the character of the gracious landowner or us as the undeserving fig tree? But what if we were able to instead read this as the landowner's opportunity to change his beliefs about what is valuable and important? What if this story is an invitation for us to do the same? In her commentary on this text, Joanna Harder explains that the owner seems to think that a fig tree is worthless if it's not producing figs. But that is simply not true. The root system of the fig tree is vital for the slowing down of soil erosion. The branches of fig trees were often used as trellises for grapevines. There are lots of ways a fig tree can be useful. So perhaps the fig tree is like those of us who are unproductive, those of us who are not worth much in the eyes of the world, those of us who do not act like others think we are supposed to act. Maybe the poor, the disabled, the mentally ill, the children, the misfits, maybe they are the fig tree. Unappreciated, vulnerable, necessary. And maybe those of us more appreciated, more accepted, maybe we are called to tend and fertilize the trees in hopes that fruit will emerge from the once barren branches. Or maybe we are called to convince the powerful, the bottom line oriented people of this world to put away their axes, because even barren fig trees are valuable resources, especially in a vineyard. And this bottom line oriented world that we live in is not only cutting us off from one another, but it's cutting us off from the very sources of life that are necessary for us. The expectations of the landowner are so ingrained into our everyday way of living. Our work is our value. Our time is our money. How busy we tell others we are makes us seem important. We must be producing something to be seen as worthy. And yet, this life of production value is literally killing us. In fact, overwork is the single largest risk factor for occupational disease, accounting for roughly one-third of the burden of disease contracted on the job. And the pandemic has intensified our stress, exhaustion, and weariness, not just for those who work, but has put all of us into conflict with the societal expectations to be productive and the desperate need to take care of ourselves. And yet the season of Lent reminds us that to live a life full to the brim doesn't mean how much work or productivity we can fill our lives with. But to live a full life to the brim means that we are called to be an unproductive fig tree in the midst of a winemaker's vineyard, living for a different kind of purpose. The Reverend Sarah Speed has been providing our poetry each week for the weekly email. And her poem for this week reminds me what this fig tree's purpose is about. There's a copy of it in your bulletin this morning if you'd like to read along with me. She writes, "Sometimes I wish I was the fig tree. No fruit here, just soaking up the sun, growing roots, turning green, stretching out my branches until I can hug the horizon. Sometimes I wish I was the fig tree because she doesn't produce fruit, and she's not exhausted, and she's probably gets 8 hours of sleep at night, and her branches, unlike my shoulders, are not heavy with work, pulled towards the ground, threatening to break, and her trunk, unlike my spine, is not fighting to stand tall while holding it all together. Sometimes I wish I was the fig tree because she knows what I forgot many years ago, that you are still worthy even if you don't produce." The story of the fig tree is a reminder, friends, that we are worthy even if we don't produce, that our value comes from not what the landowner stresses and sees, but what the gardener does, that you are worthy, that you are not a lost cause, that you are not a waste of resources. You deserve audacious hope. You deserve to be nurtured. Like the gardener, you are invited to see others with audacious hope and budding potential. That we must live in defiance of this system and society that measures our worthiness by commerce and production, output, success, status, achievement, ethnicity, and our gender identity. We might ask, can the fig tree have worth even if it never produces any figs? And what does that mean for us if the answer is yes? Patience, nurture, asset-based thinking, and audacious hope are then the countercultural practices that are needed for us to live an expansive life. The story of the fig tree reminds us that the world's expectations do not need to be ours. The gardener puts their faith in that which they have no control, digging a bigger hole and filling it with manure. They tend to the tree with everything it needs to grow and its purpose. Perhaps this means bearing figs, or maybe it provides shade for the laborers during the harvest, an opportunity for the gardener to tend to the fields in a new way, or transformation of the owner's ability to see beyond the commodification of land. Those of us living a fig tree existence are invited to be nourished and tended, so that in time we too grow into our purpose. People with power are then reminded to disrupt their knowledge of how the world works and their complicity in earthly systems and measurements so that everyone has an opportunity to thrive. And still then others provide nurture and solidarity, trusting that intentional care will lead to new life. So friends, in this season of reflection, you are invited to dig your roots down deep, slow down production, find peace in rest and renewal, and hear the hope of the gardener. Remember that you are worthy as you are. Thanks be to God. Amen.